Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the Coca-Cola FEMSA's fourth quarter 2016 conference call. As a reminder, today's conference is being recorded, and all participants are in a listen-only mode. At the request of the company, we will open the conference up for questions and answers after the presentation. During the conference call, management may discuss certain forward-looking statements concerning Coca-Cola FEMSA's future performance and should be considered as good faith estimates made by the company. These forward-looking statements reflect management's expectations and are based upon currently available data. Actual results are subject to future events and uncertainties, which can materially impact the company's actual performance. At this time, I will now turn the conference over to Mr. Hector Treviño, Coca-Cola FEMSA's Chief Financial Officer. Please go ahead, Mr. Treviño.
Good morning, everyone, and good afternoon, and thank you for joining us to discuss our fourth quarter 2016 results. In the fourth quarter of 2016, we continue to deliver solid top-line results supported by our price flexibility, our point-of-sale execution, and market share gains across most of our countries. Our transactions continue to outperform our volumes in Mexico, despite of a difficult comparable versus the previous year. This performance was offset by a contraction in transactions and volume in South America, driven by a difficult consumer and macroeconomic environment. However, we were able to increase our average price per unit case ahead of inflation in most of our markets, achieving higher revenues versus previous year. Additionally, our hedging strategies let us mitigate pressures coming from currency volatility and increasing raw material prices, mainly sugar. For the quarter, our consolidated reported revenues increased more than 20% and operating income increased 7.8%. These figures include 1 month of the recently acquired territory of Bompar in Brazil. During the same period, the consolidated comparable revenues rose 3.7%, driven mainly by price increases in Mexico and Argentina, while the comparable operating income declined 8.3% as a consequence of top-line pressures in Brazil combined with raw material cost headwinds in Colombia. I will briefly discuss the highlights of each operation. In Mexico, during the last quarter of 2016, transactions and volumes increased versus previous years. Despite of facing mid-single-digit growth in the fourth quarter of 2015. However, the main driver of top-line growth was our pricing flexibility, enabled us to increase our average price per unit case well ahead of inflation. In February 2017, we launched our new Coca-Cola Sin Azúcar or Zero Sugar Coca-Cola to appeal to our consumers, leveraging the strong brand equity of Coca-Cola. A new variation of classic Coca-Cola is available in our main single-serve presentations and the 2.5-liter one-way package. With this launching, we continue to strengthen our non-caloric portfolio, consistent with our commitment to offer new innovative alternatives for our consumers. Within our flavor sparkling beverage category, we continue to successfully deliver growth thanks to our Naranja Anada and Limón Anada brands, increasing market share gains in this category. Building on our momentum, we recently launched a new Jamaica Anada, offering another flavorful choice for our consumers. Our non-carbonated beverage volume continue their double-digit growth, driven by Vallefruit Orange, Del Valle Juice, and Santa Clara Dairy Pros. Ciel flavored water also continued to grow, achieving double-digit growth as well. During the quarter, we started distributing Monster Energy Drink with positive results in just the first few months. Mexico's solid top-line results, combined with our execution discipline and operating expense control, enabled us to mitigate gross margin pressures resulting from currency volatility and higher sugar prices. In Central America, our volumes grew 0.5%, with Guatemala's more than 20% volume growth outperforming the region. This growth was offset by a low single-digit decline in Costa Rica and a high single-digit decline in Panama. Our transactions outperformed our volumes in both Guatemala and Costa Rica. Brand Coca-Cola continued its growth in Central America, together with the rest of our flavored sparkling beverage portfolio. In our still beverage category, we continue to gain market share across all of our operations in the region. Personal water and bottled water volume was mainly driven by brand Alpina, enabled us to expand our volumes by more than 2% in the total water category. Our South America division continued to face a very difficult consumer environment that affected our volumes throughout the region. On the bright side, we continue gaining market share in Brazil and Argentina's sparkling beverage category, while our Colombia operation gained close to 6 percentage points in the tea category. In Brazil, including 1 month of the Bompar acquisition, our transactions declined 10% and our volumes declined over 8%. A difficult economic environment has incentivized our consumers to seize upon our affordable portfolio choices. We continue to focus on enhancing our point-of-sale execution and increasing our portfolio's alternatives, which enable us to sustain our momentum in market share gains. As part of our portfolio initiatives to maximize value in each segment through innovation and affordability, we recently launched our new 220-milliliter sleek can for brand Coca-Cola, Fanta, and Sprite in Brazil. Within the flavor sparkling beverage category, Quachi and Sprite continue to outperform, achieving low single-digit volume growth. Currently, we continue to gain shares in the still beverage category. During 2016, our local pricing and revenue management initiatives, coupled with our focus on cost control, enable us to mitigate margin pressures. In Colombia, our volume declined by close to 14%, in line with transactions. This performance was affected by a high comparable versus 2015, coupled with our pricing initiatives to compensate for an increasing inflation on our cost structure. These pricing initiatives will help us to have a better position for 2017. Notably, the volume of our 2-liter returnable presentation of brand Coca-Cola continued its growth with a significant expansion during the quarter. Our flavor sparkling beverage brand Fanta and our Brisa personal water achieved double-digit growth for the quarter versus previous year. In Argentina, consumers continue to experience constraints on their disposable income since salaries in real terms are not keeping up with the rate of inflation. Nevertheless, by leveraging our capabilities to offer different alternatives for our consumers, our transactions were able to partially outperform volume contractions for the quarter. Our volume declined 8%, with our transactions outpaced this contraction by 2 percentage points. This quarter, we closed the gap with inflation by accelerating our price and revenue management strategies. Volumes in our steel bearers category grew 8%, driven mainly by our Powerade and Cepita juice brands. We continue building a winning portfolio through product and packaging innovation. This year, we launched our 1.5-liter presentation of Powerade and our Cepita brand, 100% apple and orange juices. In Venezuela, we continue to focus on our non-caloric alternatives to mitigate the sugar shortages that we have experienced in the previous quarter. In a deeply affected consumer environment, characterized by lower disposable incomes, higher levels of inflation, and scarcity of goods, we experienced a close to 60% volume contraction for the quarter. In the face of this exceptionally challenging environment, we remain committed to satisfying our Venezuelan consumers' diverse needs. Moving on to our Philippines operation, our volume and transactions both grew close to 3%. Our core sparkling beverage portfolio continued to drive our top-line performance for the quarter. Our renewed 12-ounce and 750-milliliter returnable glass presentations continue to deliver transaction growth, while our flavor sparkling beverages are supported by Nismo, our popular one-way single-serve PET presentation. Additionally, our non-carbonated beverage volumes, including water, grew by double digits. Our Philippines business operational and financial results remain encouraging as we intend to deliver margin improvements. Now, regarding our financial results, this quarter, our reported net income increased 12.4%, reaching 1.69 Mexican pesos per share. We achieved a zero net dollar debt exposure, mitigating the impact of currency exchange volatility on our net income going forward, as part of our strategy of reducing our consolidated dollar-denominated debt. In the acquisition front, as we announced on December 6 of last year, we successfully closed our acquisition of Bompar through our Brazilian subsidiary. We have begun the integration of this territory into KR system, incorporating key talent into our management, generating synergies through our marketing and commercial strategies, while directly capturing top-line value, as well as achieving synergies in the supply chain process, from strategic raw material sources to final distribution to our clients. Our positive performance in 2016 was driven by our focus on transactions and pricing, our point-of-sale execution, and our proactive currency and raw material hedging strategy that, as a whole, enabled us to mitigate the impact of a tough consumer and economic environment on our margins. We will continue to reinforce our leading market position while protecting our profitability and cash flow generation going forward, based on our operational and financial discipline. Looking ahead, our profitable transformation of our business in the Philippines should positively add to our consolidated results as we start to consolidate this operation in February 2017. Our strategic and financial flexibility, our committed team of talented professionals, and our ability to adapt to different conditions and opportunities will enable us to continue capturing both organic and inorganic growth and creating sustainable value for our shareholders now and into the future. Thank you for your continued trust and support. And operator, I would like to open now the call for questions.
Certainly. And if you'd like to ask a question on today's call, please press star, then one on your telephone keypad. If you are using a speakerphone, please make sure your mute function is turned off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. Once again, please press star 1 at this time, and we'll pause for just a moment. And we'll take our first question from Lauren Torres with UBS. Please go ahead.
Yes, hi, everyone. Hector, I know on many occasions we keep hearing about this pricing flexibility, and you know, I'm just curious, as you're thinking about your markets for 2017, it seems like a lot of the macro and currency headwinds are still working against you. So, you know, is this still kind of like your biggest lever to pull, I guess? I mean, is there room for again, pricing above inflation? I assume if you hold market share, you know, you'll withstand some volume losses. I'm just trying to get the volume price mix algorithm right for this year, because it looks like, you know, we are heading into another challenging year in several markets. So, you know, how do you think about, you know, using that pricing option as kind of really to kind of keep you whole and to keep margins as whole as possible?
Hi, how are you? Good afternoon there in New York. Yes, I think that as we have said in previous conference calls, the pricing is a very important lever. It's not the only lever that we will do going forward in terms of trying to continue to deliver value to our shareholders. But as I have mentioned, I believe that this time around, probably for the last two or three quarters, and we have mentioned this in this those conference calls, we have had an alignment with the Coca-Cola Company that volume is important, but it's more important the value equation, and pricing also plays a very important role. In other words, the Coca-Cola Company is aligned with our view that we should use the pricing lever also to try to get a better profitability out of this equation. And we are starting to have dialogues of premiumization of the category, etc. That's why you see this movement to a smaller SKUs, higher prices, etc. In every operation, and I think that's one of the things to highlight during 2016, in all operations, basically, and when I say basically, so the 10 countries, only Guatemala and the Philippines are slightly below the price increases have been slightly below inflation. The other 10 countries, we have been very active on the pricing front. With areas like Mexico, where we are basically increasing prices on average, including water and everything, at two times the rate of inflation. Nicaragua, it's more than that. In Brazil, it's close to 1.5 times inflation. So, and inflation is just a reference of you know, a number that is publicly available, etc. Colombia, we have increased close to 3 times inflation. However, Colombia, for example, we are just catching up with a lot of discounting activity that we had in the last 3 or 4 years. So even though we have actively increased prices in Colombia, and we are seeing the decline in volumes, we are still below the prices that we have 3 or 4 years ago when you compare in real terms. And obviously, the difficult part of this process, and believe me that we are very conscious of all the implications, but we feel that with all the systems and the information we have a better grasp of the opportunities that we have in certain areas of the country. The difficult process is how do we continue to increase the penetration of our products in the consumer? How do we increase the consumer base, which is a very important element in our equation? But at the same time, how do we pass along the cost inflation that we are seeing with some of the raw materials and the very important volatility that we are seeing in the FX markets? Part of that volatility is covered with the hedging, with the active hedging activity, but there is certainly a cost that has to be passed to the consumer with this. On the other hand, as you all know, we have been actively, and I'll say very actively, promoting returnable presentations. And returnable presentations brings affordability to the consumer. So we are not losing our focus in trying to increase the consumer base. And for those consumers that are suffering the most, we have an affordable product through returnable presentations. So basically in every country, you are seeing an important increase in the mix of returnable presentations. So at the end of the day, if I have to summarize this, Lorin, is in our budgets, we continue to believe that it's important that we have prices ahead of inflation because that's a way of maintaining our profitability. We have to be very careful with the cost structure because sometimes some of the raw materials are increasing ahead of that inflation, especially some dollar-denominated raw materials. But at the same time, we like to keep this balance of continue to increasing the consumer base. And all those variables play in this difficult balancing act that we have to perform in every country. But we are very, very keen that the pricing level is an important level that we have to play going forward.
Great. That's very clear. If I could sneak in one other question, Hector, the Coca-Cola company keeps updating us on moving forward quickly with the refranchising. So I'm not sure if there's much you could say or will say at this point, but any update on your front with respect to U.S. interests? That's it. Thank you.
Yes. Well, as most of you know, we are always looking for acquisition opportunities. I'll say it's part of the DNA of Coca-Cola FEMSA. As I mentioned, I guess, certainly in the previous conference call and in some of the meetings that I have had with some of you, the Coca-Cola company has mentioned and has basically presented a plan to us that is divided in three stages. The first stage is to fully understand how the Coke U.S. system operates with respect basically to governance and coordination with the rest of the bottlers. The second stage is basically for us to perform evaluation process and try to reach an agreement and sign a non-binding letter of intent. And then if we reach that agreement, start the third stage, which is perform a due diligence and prepare final documentation and close. The Coca-Cola company has expressed that they would like to finish that third stage by the end of this year. We are still in the second stage of this process, as of this moment, and basically we don't have nothing additional to share at this point in time.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
And moving on, we'll take our next question from Antonio Gonzalez with Credit Suisse. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning, Hector. Thank you for taking my question. Just have two quick ones on Brazil. The first one is, apologies if I missed this during the prepared remarks, but can you give us a little bit more color on what was the organic volume trend in Brazil, excluding the Bompar acquisition, and how do you see volumes progressing in Brazil throughout the rest of 2017? And secondly, I don't know if you'll be, I understand if you are not able to comment a lot at this point, but after the consolidation in the beer industry in Brazil, Heineken and Kirin just announced, I understand that they are still figuring out how they will reshuffle distribution, et cetera. But I just wanted to see if you can comment on what's the capacity that you would have eventually to absorb incremental beer volumes, if that's a solution that Heineken brings to the table. Do you just have the physical capacity to distribute more beer? And can you just remind us, big picture, what are the margins that you're making in that distribution business and whether you would be keen on increasing your exposure to beer in Brazil at the moment?
Hi, José Antonio. Good morning here in Mexico. Let me start with Brazil. When you exclude this month of Bompas, basically volumes for the quarter declined around 18% in Brazil. It was a very tough quarter. For the full year, we are seeing a decline around 9% on an apples-to-apples basis without Bompas. And the first part of the year, we are seeing a still negative volume for a much lower number, probably in the mid-single-digit decline, as opposed to the very high double-digit that we saw in the quarter. My perspective in Brazil is that we'll have, and I have expressed that, and I continue to believe in this thesis, is that we'll have a tough first half of the year, but we believe that the second part of the year will present some interesting opportunities with respect to our traditional business, and I'll move into the beer business in a second. You have seen how the central bank has been reducing interest rates. It looks like we are basically turning the turning point in Brazil, but my expectation is that the first 6 months will be still tough on the operations from Brazil. We have been increasing prices as well. I think that we have a good pricing that will help us for most of the 2017, because a lot of this pricing activity that I described in Lorin's question has to do with pricing activity that we have at the end of last year that will help us good on the second part. The same reference to returnable presentations, it's important in Brazil. Brazil is still, I'll say, kind of underdeveloped on returnable PET. Just to give you an idea, while in Mexico we have returnable representing close to 35% of our mix, in Brazil we are more and still close to 20%, but still below 20%. So I think that that strategy that we have been developing in Brazil to have an affordable product with 2 liters returnable PET and the 1 liter glass returnable is helping importantly to the affordability thesis in Brazil. With respect to the Heineken and Kirin, what I can share is that we are right now in conversations with Heineken and together with the Coca-Cola company discussing if and how and under which circumstances the Kirin beer could be added to the agreement that we have with Heineken. Those meetings just started to happen as we speak, basically this past week. I don't have a lot of information yet to share. It's just preliminary meetings. But for us in general, I guess the sense is, I think that for the three parties, both for certainly for Heineken, certainly for the bottlers, and I believe that certainly for the Coca-Cola company, it would be good if we can reach an agreement on the economic and the commercial conditions to handle Kirin, because it will increase the truckload, the delivery, the number of cases delivered to each outlet. That will certainly dilute some of the fixed cost structures that we have. And I think that is a very important move with respect to the competition environment in the new industry in Brazil also. So I guess my perception in this is that it would be good for Heineken because of the capillarity that we have in reaching so many places. And I think it's going to be good for the Coke system because of the possibility of increasing drop sizes and et cetera, and what that represents in terms of savings and diluting some of the fixed costs. Okay?
That's very clear. Thank you for your thoughts on that topic.
Thank you.
And moving on, we'll take our next question from Luca Cipiccia with Goldman Sachs. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Good morning. Thanks for taking my question. I wanted to follow up on Brazil, not to sort of overstress that market, but I'm curious you know, the level of tolerance on this volume decline, because as you mentioned earlier, it was 18% in the quarter, but at the same time, you seem to be willing to do pricing well above inflation. Inflation has been moving back. Could be maybe a time to recuperate volume. So let's say going forward, you know, how advanced are you in the level of pricing that you think you should have, and how should we model this gap between, you know, volume and prices? Has this really been a step change in how willing you may be to do pricing and tolerate even this large sort of volume declines? Also considering how you're thinking about scaling the operations, you have the integration of Bompar, you've been, you know, it's a long-term, I guess, set up for Brazil, maybe more consolidation to come. So just maybe help us contextualize, you know, this double-digit volume decline. I would assume some of that is expectable given the price increases that you've been doing. So just maybe some direction on that front would be helpful.
Good morning, Luca. Yes, I think that, I mean, again, if, as I mentioned in the first question, it's a difficult balance that we do together with our operators locally. I mean, we receive a lot of feedback. We check also a lot with the Coca-Cola company, the specific situation. I think that the fact that we have done a big push for returnables in Brazil has helped us to sustain this pricing activity that we have seen in Brazil. I agree with you, inflation is coming down very fast. Our expectation is that we will continue to increase prices slightly above inflation in Brazil, probably not as much as we did it during 2016, because again, we have some of the prices being executed in the last part of 2016, and that will help us to carry a good price for 2017. But in general, I mean, if I remember correctly, our budget has a 1.5-2 percentage points ahead of inflation in the pricing front. That obviously is a mix of products. We have different categories. We have water. But in general, the structure that we have is to try to, again, to move ahead of inflation a little bit. Very importantly, Bompar has a substantial gap prices, a substantial gap in prices with respect to the rest of the operations. And when I say a gap, meaning that they were below the prices that we have. And the idea is obviously to start increasing prices there importantly. We already started there. It was a problem for us in the past because of potential transshipments, because remember we were contiguous territories. As a matter of fact, we announced that we were expecting something like 65 million reais in synergies on this acquisition. We are shooting for a higher number. We now after taking over this, we are thinking more of probably 100 million reais in a 24 period time frame. Basically, again, because we are seeing more pricing opportunities in that specific area of the territories. Bompar didn't have any zero returnability, so we are introducing also the 2-liter returnable PET, and that will help us sustain the pricing gaps that we have with our competitors. Remember that the role of returnables is basically, just as a reference to everyone, is to have an affordable product with which compete and where we see competition tougher, and that open up the opportunity for us to price higher for the convenience of one-way presentations. With no returnable PET and just maintaining a huge gap, competition is very tough. So that's why the emphasis on returnable is important.
And
how much do you think, so just quick follow, how much do you think the breadth of the portfolio in Brazil could also sort of amplify some of these volume swings? Or in other words, you think if your portfolio was wider in the current consumer environment, you may have been able to sort of compensate a bit better between steel, sparkling, other categories? Maybe, and how should we think about that going forward for Brazil specifically?
No, I think that we have a wide enough portfolio now that I mean, basically for the last year and a half since we started to push for the panel with the presentations. We do not have a specific launchings of different sizes or different flavors. I mean, there are the normal activity that we have. I think that this 18% reduction in volumes is basically a reflection of the difficult environment that the consumer is facing in these territories. As a matter of fact, when we read the market share numbers that we see in Brazil, we are basically increasing in every category. Every single category that we have, except in the sport drinks, the rest of the categories, we are increasing market share, with signals to us that is more a macroeconomic environment, the consumer that is hurt kind of situation, rather than us being affected because of lack of portfolio opportunities. Okay?
Thank you.
Thank you.
And once again, if you'd like to ask a question on today's call, please press star, then one on your telephone keypad. And we'll take our next question from Carlos Laboy with HSBC. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, everyone. Hector, what proportion of your Brazil earnings might be beer now? And is the language of the beer agreement hold any risk for you that Heineken could take all of its beer brands away when that distribution agreement expires? Or is there some kind of a renewal option that's up to you?
Good morning, Carlos. A proportion of the earnings sometimes is kind of difficult to estimate because you have to assume some fixed cost absorption. But on a marginal basis, assuming that you cannot extract any other cost structure, assuming that beer is totally marginal, let me put it that way, it will represent between 12 to 15% of our earnings. In theory, if we were not to have that beer operation, we could reduce some of our expenses and the fixed cost structure. Now, you can adjust that or try to. And you will not need the same structure if you are delivering, if you are not delivering those products. The agreement that we have has an exclusivity that works both ways and runs until 2020. In theory, each of the two parties can cancel that agreement, and we need the two parties to agree to renew the agreement. It's not totally on our hands. I think that the conversations that we are having with Heineken, and as I mentioned also with the Coca-Cola Company, are moving in that direction. And as I mentioned, we believe that it's good for the three parties, the Coca-Cola Company, for us, and for Heineken. I think, again, that the capillarity or the way we execute in the marketplace and the reach that we have to so many stores is also good for Heineken. I think that it would be difficult to replicate for them, but that certainly is an alternative that they can also explore. No? I think that this negotiation with Kirin is going to be important to shape up the relationship with Heineken in the future. So I hope that we can reach an agreement on this. No?
Also, on the execution side in Brazil, Hector, could you comment on your execution scores, on your price compliance scores? Looks like there were some big improvements there. in Brazil specifically?
Yes, execution is a very important focus of our strategy in Brazil. At some point in time, we were at the very bottom of the table of the scores that the Coca-Cola company used with all the bottlers, or the information we share with all the bottlers in terms of execution. And we have improved significantly. The latest reading that we have is that we are now the second bottler in those scores that are measured by the Coca-Cola company. And just to clarify, Carlos, and this, when I was referring to the beer importance within the Brazil operation, when I was saying somewhere between 12 to 15%, I'm referring to the fee that we receive compared to our revenues. The profitability should be lower than that, but let me do some analysis on that and I'll get back to you. No?
Thank you.
Okay.
And moving on, we'll take our next question from Alex Robarts with Citigroup.
Hi, everybody. Thank you. I'm sorry to go back to Brazil, but I do have one more on Brazil and then a second question on Colombia. So, I appreciate the transparency around the volume in the fourth quarter and the comments that you're making about recovery this year and how you see it. But I guess I'd be interested to know, 2016 was probably a multi-decade trough year for not just the category, but frankly for other fast-moving consumer goods companies. When you think about what happened during the year in terms of your channel mix, I'd be interested to know, kind of modern versus traditional. We've seen a big growth, right, in the cash and carry. And to the extent that that's shifted during the year, could you comment as to what is your split, what was your split at year end, traditional versus modern channel in Brazil, and how that changed in the course of the year? And when we think about this year, can you perhaps work at that channel mix to help the margin recovery in the second half? In other words, is your view that the second half will be better, mainly a comp, an easier comp rationale, or are there some other things that you think can happen in the second half that get the volume and the category back on track to a growth path? So that's the first question.
Good morning, Alex. Good afternoon, sorry. If I understood your question correctly, let me answer about Brazil. Channels. We have seen an increase in the so-called atacados and the modern trade, and clearly this is a reflection of the consumer trying to look for, more affordable options for the shopping activity. That has hurt a little bit the margin or the pricing, and the margin of our mix. Because you can imagine on those clients you have more discounts and more promotional activity. I think that for the second half of this year, and our expectation and our view on this and on this embedded in our budget, is that the consumer is going to come back with more disposable income, especially as the interest rates continue to drop at the speed that they are dropping. And our expectation is that, again, part of this, part of the consumer will move again to the small store and the small mom and pop. I don't think that the channel is, other than the effect it has a little bit on the discounting and promotional activity in our P&L, it's important, but it's not something to worry about. I think that the second half of the year is more of recovery of the consumer. And that is also the case for Colombia. We expect a recovery both in Brazil and Colombia also as we enter easier comps versus 2016. Colombia, we started the year with very good first quarter, and then second quarter was not as good, but it was positive, and then the third and fourth quarter were very complex. You also, if I understand correctly, you also asked about Colombia, and Colombia is starting the year with the fact that the value-added tax on everything increased from 16 to 19. So there's three additional points on taxes that the consumer is confronting and that is causing our consumers to be a bit more cautious at the beginning of the year. But the second half of the year, both for Brazil and Colombia, will be comparing with easier comps with respect to the top line growth that I think also will help them in this case. Okay?
Okay. Yeah, I mean, if you can't share the actual split in Brazil between modern and the traditional channel, would it be fair that there was, in fact, a channel mix shift, and that in the course of the year, the modern channel gained in your channel mix? Is that fair?
Yes, more or less, the recollection that I have, Alex, and it's very close to real, I'm sure, it's somewhere around 64 in the traditional trade, 36 in modern. So basically two-thirds, one-third. And what I don't remember exactly is where we were a couple of years ago in the modern trade. It was lower. So modern trade has increased. It's important. But let me do some research on this, and I'll get back to you. But the picture that we have as of the end of the year is more or less two-thirds on traditional trade and one-third in modern trade.
Okay. Okay. Thanks very much. I appreciate that.
Thank you.
And moving on, we'll take our next question from Pedro Leduc with J.P. Morgan and Chase. Thank you.
Thank you very much for that good question. With changing countries a bit, Argentina and Colombia, also weak volumes there at the end of the year, but would like to hear thoughts on how you envision this 17, especially in Argentina, seems to be some more elevated hopes. And in Colombia, if you need more pricing there, and if you think it's a little more accommodated by now, even though there's tax increase in the country. So just your outlook for these two countries and how you're seeing the year start over there, that would be great. Thank you.
Good afternoon, Pedro. Let me start with Colombia. Colombia, we are seeing given this increase in the value-added tax that we are seeing, we are starting the year kind of on a slow note, but with a very tough comp because the first quarter of last year was very good in terms of bonds. But in addition to that tough comparison, we have this issue of the tax. I think that financially, we are better prepared in Colombia because we increased prices importantly towards the end of the year. As I mentioned in one of the other questions, we were increasing close to three times the level of inflation that we had in Colombia during the full year. But still, we are at lower price in real terms versus before we started with the so-called Plan Colombia, where prices were where we use in a price war with our competitors. So I'm seeing a more benign environment with respect to pricing, but the volumes will, in our expectation, will grow low single digits for the year. And the profitability front, it's important to understand that Colombia has been confronting some one-time effects of charges during 2016. There was an issue where a judicial process that was started even before we acquired Panamco, that was lost during the fourth quarter of 2016, and obviously we have to register the penalty that we have to pay. It has to do with the water and sewer service, and so we were paying some extraordinary expenses that during the fourth quarter of 2016 that will not be present next year and will help on the financial results. In Argentina, we are seeing an improvement on the volumes that we are seeing. Remember, the consumer in Argentina, the effect that we are seeing is we have this important devaluation of the currency. We have salaries increasing, but not as fast as the inflation rate, and especially the cost of services that were increased when President Macri took office, which we think are the right moves in the right direction. But the consumer, as you have heard me say before, is in a very difficult environment because salaries have not increased as high. Inflation rate, our estimate for 2016 is basically close to 40%. We are seeing that reducing drastically, still to a high level, but our expectation is somewhere around 20% for next year. So with that, we think that the consumer will come back to the category, and we are expecting a low to mid single digit growth in volumes. That together with the pricing activity, because as I mentioned in the opening remarks, by the fourth quarter, we were able to basically reach inflation again on the price. In other words, we were able to increase close to 40% in nominal terms the prices in Argentina. So all in all, we see a good environment an improving environment for Argentina for next year.
Okay, no, that's very helpful. And still in Argentina, the salary increases you mentioned were for yourself or that you're seeing in the overall market, just for us to get a sense on how margins will fare?
No, I was referring to the overall market, but our salary increases were pretty much in line with the overall market.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And moving on, we'll take our next question from Luis Miranda with Santander. Please go ahead.
Yes, hi, good morning everyone, good afternoon. A question changing now to the Philippines. You mentioned the 2% growth and pricing below inflation. I don't know if you could give us some color in terms of the profitability during the year, and what should we expect in strategy and profitability in the Philippines in 2017? Thanks.
Good morning, Liz. Yes, in the Philippines, we are following this strategy of trying to maintain prices. We have a low inflation economy. I mean, it's basically around 5%. So we are with this idea that we would like to see better consumption patterns. Still, the per capita are very, very low. So we are maintaining prices in nominal terms. That basically means that we are having some reductions in real terms. We are changing some of the packaging sizes so as to maintain some price points but reduce the size of the package. For example, in this Lismo, which started as a 300 milliliter PET one-way presentation, In some areas, we are having a 250 milliliter PET presentation as opposed to the 300 and maintaining the price, the same price that we have in the 300. So all in all, at the end of the day, if prices in the Philippines have been slightly below inflation, and as a strategy to try to increase per capita and then later on start moving the price. Remember that we have two very strong competitors and the market is basically divided in three equal parts. We have been gaining share in some of the areas, so we feel comfortable with that strategy. At the end of the day, we are improving substantially the profitability from negative operating income levels that we had when we acquired to positive numbers, but still low numbers compared to the rest of the operations. You will start seeing those numbers as we start to consolidate the Philippines in February. But in general, the number that we have for 2016 was a low single-digit EBIT margin, basically around 3%. We are seeing improvements in that, but maybe increasing 100 basis points or 150 basis points for next year. So in Philippines, it's a story of a very important sizable market. Remember, we sell close to 580 million unit cases, 470 million unit cases last year. So it's an important market in terms of size with very poor consumers where prices are low, the capitals are low, and the strategy is to foster consumption per capita and start bringing some pricing activity in the future, not at this moment. We need to first work on this on this per capita. And but clearly in the direction of the direction that our operators have there is to start looking for opportunities to continue improving that very small margin that we have in that operation. Okay?
No, perfect. Gracias.
Thank you.
And moving on, we'll take our last question from Jose Jordan with Deutsche Bank. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning, guys. Quick question on Venezuela, right? We had been talking about 170 million unit cases for the year, and that fell short by almost 20. Obviously, with a 40% EBITDA margin, you could almost say, who cares if there was that shortfall? But I guess I would just want some color as to what your operating plan is for Venezuela for this year. How many cases can you sell of non-sugar product? If there's going to be any change in the supply of sugar to allow you to start ramping up, regular product again. And I guess while this is not necessarily up to you, how long do you think this margin can continue? I assume that as long as the currency, as the FX rate doesn't change and inflation keeps going at 100 plus a year, the dollar price of the product can continue to grow significantly. Any color on how you see Venezuela unfolding this year? Although I know it's a difficult, very difficult projection to make.
Good afternoon, Jose. Let me give you a flavor in Venezuela. Venezuela is a market that, as you say, it was serving close to 240 million unit cases in the past. We were shooting for somewhere around 170. We reached basically 143. We are seeing volumes still declining. Name of the game in Venezuela for us is how to survive with the operations that we have, try to maintain the optionality that we have in this operation. At the end of the day, it's a market that we think that loves the brand, but the consumer is very, very poor now. The prices of everything has been increasing substantially. You can argue that everything is dollarized, not in the sense that they pay with dollars, but that everything has increased to whatever the prices of everything has increased to whatever the parallel market is, which is, you know, around in the 3,500 or close to 4,000 bolivars per dollar. So our strategy there, you know, is not so much of maintaining the EBIT margin that is very low. Because we are registering now basically everything at the parallel exchange rate. We are using, whenever we need to buy some raw materials that are dollar denominated, we use brokers and use our bolivars to pay for that. We haven't been injecting any US dollar currency to Venezuela. For the full year last year, we ended up putting around $3 or $4 million, basically to pay for some systems and IT things that are very complex to do it in Bolivar, or impossible to do it in Bolivar. No? Very few with respect to few dollars with respect to raw materials. So in our accounting, we have basically everything registered at the very close to the parallel rate. And with that, you get to a level of around 4 to 5% EBIT margin, which is, you know, just to maintain our number there, our profitability. At the end of the day, the plan that we have for 2017 and going forward is forget about how the numbers look in the P&L, because and I'll explain why. And just try to survive and be free cash flow in bolivars positive or neutral, and just maintain the labor piece, maintain the operations, not to risk us being expropriated or whatever, and continue with a good relationship with the government authorities and with the labor unions over there. What I'm referring to this with the management that we have over there that are doing a terrific job, the signal is not to worry that much on how the P&L looks, because sometimes you will have variables that are outside the control, like the exchange rate at which you could buy raw materials whenever you need. Basically, it's some PET that we need to import. Why are we saying that? Because obviously the managers are proud of their P&L and in some instances can be, you know, their variable compensation is linked to the performance of the operation, etc. But we are changing all of that to maintain free cash flow and maintain the operations. That's the task that they have. It's a difficult environment. It's a very difficult environment. I think that we have increased prices of our products so much, and when you think that inflation is rounding, it's around 400 or close to 500% per year, and that we have prices ahead of inflation, that means that a price for one of our products could be 5 or 6 times what it was a year ago. And what we are seeing now is that, which is different than last year, you will see a lot of scarcity in the shelves in the supermarkets, but you will find Coca-Cola, and everyone was buying Coca-Cola. And now you continue to see the scarcity, you continue to see Coca-Cola, but you are not seeing the same level of expenditures, I guess, or the same level of purchase from the consumer, because prices of everything have increased so much that they don't have the currency to pay for this. With respect to the sugar, right now it's kind of a forced change into non-caloric beverages. We have the same Coca-Cola sin azúcar or sugar-free Coke. In the same red label that you are seeing in the one brand strategy. And those sugar-free coke now represent close to 80% of the portfolio, because we don't have availability of sugar to continue working with the regular coke. So part of this decline in volumes has to do with the consumer probably preferring a sugary drink, but part, and I think the majority of the impact has to do with the fact that the consumer is hurt because prices have increased so much, and that's why I referred to a consumer, the economy being dollarized, not in the sense that you use dollars again as a currency, but dollarized in the sense that everything is increasing prices so fast. So tough environment, but again, very good job from our operators there. And the message that I want you to keep with is we are going to focus on free cash flow, maintain the operations, have enough cash in Bolivars to pay salaries, to pay raw materials, to pay our taxes. And if we are break even or positive on free cash flow, that would be great. And call for better times, no? And maintain this optionality that we have on this, which I think is a very important market in the future for us. No?
Great. Sounds good. Thanks for the caller.
Thank you, Jose.
And that concludes today's question and answer session. Mr. Trevino, at this time, I would turn the conference back over to you for any additional or closing remarks.
Well, thank you, everyone, for your interest in Coca-Cola FEMSA. And as always, our team and myself are available to whenever you visit Mexico and to answer any question or remaining questions you may have. Thank you.
Once again, this does conclude today's conference. Thank you for your participation. You may now disconnect.